What's going on, guys? It's Ryan Deppen back here with episode 2 of the Hustle Hoops podcast. Just want to let you guys know I'm super sorry I haven't had any podcasts out lately. It's been about a month and a half since the last one came out. Part of that is my fault. Part of it is scheduling. But I promise you guys, we'll have some very special guests here on soon. As for today, we have a guest who's been a great mentor of mine, a great friend of mine, Luke Cooper. He'll be on with us in just a few moments. But in the meantime, if you haven't already followed us at the Hustle Hoops Podcast Instagram, it's at Hustle Hoops Pod, and my personal as well. I post a lot of stuff on there about the podcast, is at Ryan Deppen. If you guys would do us a huge favor, go ahead and share the podcast. Even if you don't get anything out of this, maybe somebody else will. So go ahead and do that for us. Huge thank you in advance. But in the meantime, let's get it started.
T-shirt made by Louis. Soon as I do it, they do it. Yeah, running through the money like it ain't nothing to him. Say it all the time, but it ain't gon' do it. 7.62s, don't stall. Everything goes on my block. Bad vibes in my heart. Got new Rolls Royce, I don't drive. Chanel, Bill, Drip. If he stinny, Bill. Yeah, Michael, Mary's, Phil. Yeah, Cody, take a sip. I got in my bag, I ain't coming out. I'm still having bags, I ain't running off.
This is the Hustle Hoops Podcast with your host, Ryan Deppen.
I'm making movies, what a window fam. I know she gotta go and tell her friend. Try to give them the ball, but they ain't wanna get it. Now they won't try, cause they see us win. All the homie on trial, I just hope he win. I've been killing these niggas, Lord, I'm a sinner.
What's good, my dude?
Same old, man. Just go ahead and introduce yourself for us. Tell the people who you are, what you do.
So, I'm a Pure Sweat NBA skills coach for Pure Sweat Basketball. Originally from Kansas City, lived there from when I was born until about 4 months ago, and then recently made the move to LA. So that's kind of my story in a nutshell.
Yes, sir. Do me a favor, kind of go into the detail of your job as a skills trainer, and I get this question a lot. What's the difference between a skills trainer and a coach, and why wouldn't the player just go to a coach on a coaching staff? I get that asked actually quite a lot.
Yeah, so I think this is kind of a conversation that like I've had with players like recently. Actually, it's so hard, like as a coach. So say you're a coach of a team, whether that's a high school team or whether that's a college team, NBA team, a club team in middle school. Like it's kind of all in the same realm. Like you only have so much time with a player. And a coach's goal is to get the team to be the best possible team they could be, right? The reality is they don't have a ton of time to focus solely on an individual within that realm of, like, the time they have to, like, practice, do all that stuff. And like I said, the coach's goal is to get their team the best they can actually be. And so players come to guys like us for individual work. And so even, like, on an NBA team, it's kind of the same thing. It's like, hey, here's your role. And they're so worried about X's and O's and scouting reports and what's this guy going to do in this game, or like we're going against this guy, that they don't necessarily have the time or the resources to delegate, you know, 4 hours a day to one individual player, if that makes sense.
For sure, for sure.
And so that's kind of how – that's kind of like the service we provide is, you know, we have players, but individually, like, we care about them. Compared to where a coach, they obviously care about the player, but overall their main goal is just to, like, squeak out a win on a Friday night at the end of the day.
Yeah, I definitely don't think I could have put it any better, but, you know, I was talking to a guy at Shot Tracker. Shot Tracker is a local company that does basketball shooting percentage tracking. They have, like, hardware that goes inside the ball. They're working with the NCAA right now. They're working with tons of colleges. So if you haven't seen them already, check them out. But besides that, I was talking to this guy up at Shot Tracker. He and I were talking about why some coaches don't necessarily like skills trainers. And so my opinion on that is they should, because at the end of the day, if you have a player that's becoming more developed and he's getting better, in a team environment as well as in a one-on-one situation, I think that a better player produces a better team, produces a better winning record. And at the end of the day, that's what you're trying to do. So, I mean.
Yeah, so I'm lucky enough to kind of be underneath Drew Hanlon. In my biased opinion, he's the best skills coach in the world. So guys like Joel Embiid, Jason Tatum, Bradley Beal, and the list goes on and on. And so essentially my whole summer consists of helping out him with those workouts. And then obviously I have my guys, Shaq Harrison for the Suns and then Langston Galloway for the Pistons are kind of like my guys. And so a normal summer day is like 8 o'clock start. We go till about 2. We have a 3 to 4 hour break. And then we come back at night for shooting sessions and other skill sessions. And so super lucky to get to see just kind of the whole process and, you know, be a part of the process for a few players, you know, personally, on how they like approach their off season. And I think it's somewhat different than what a lot of fans expect, before you actually get thrown into it. You really don't understand how hard a lot of these guys actually work and how serious they actually take their games.
Yeah. I mean, no doubt. Like, half the guys in the league had to start at the bare minimum and really work the way up. You know, Shaq, you know, didn't have many offers coming out of high school and ended up playing, you know, in Tulsa and then playing in the G League for, you know, a few years and then, you know, considering going overseas and then he finally got a shot and he really took a hold of that shot. So now he's got a contract with the Phoenix Suns. So a lot of these guys really bust their ass, but kind of going into NBA, stepping in a little bit more, I want to get your takes on the upcoming season a little bit. You've had the chance to work with, you know, Brad Beal and all them, and so I want to kind of hear who's kind of your hot takes for this year. Who's your guys that you think are going to go off?
Individually or as a team?
Individually, team-wise, whichever you want to do.
Individually, obviously, I'm going to say every Pure Sweat guy.
Yeah,
I think, you know, a guy like Joel Embiid can be in the MVP talks. Mm-hmm. I think a guy like Jason Tatum has the chance to win, like, a Finals MVP. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Which is kind of crazy. There's a lot of guys, like, I think Kelly Oubre is going to have a great year. I think Langston Galloway has a chance to be one of the most improved players this year. I think Shaq, obviously I'm biased here, but I think like he's going to surprise a lot of people.
Oh, for sure.
So I'm not going to miss anyone who's not Pure Sweat, I guess.
Yeah.
But as a team, like, to me, it's basically the Warriors versus anyone else. It's kind of the Warriors league right now.
For sure.
The reality is, like, they're just substantially better, and they got better.
Somehow they got better.
I, however, think I'm a Lakers fan. And, like, some of the moves they made this offseason people thought were kind of weird. Like, I think the Lakers have a chance to be the third team in the West, which is kind of crazy, like, when you look at it.
Third team in the West. Who's your second team in the West? You go with Houston. Okay.
So it'd be, like, Warriors, Houston. Then I think they'll probably realistically get the 5 or 6 seed. And that's fine. Like, it's LeBron, so as long as he gets in the playoffs, like, he'll live with the results.
Yeah.
But, like, I think the Lakers' young core is really, really good. And then I also think that they added some veterans like Rondo and even, like, Lance Stephenson, like, all those guys. I think they have, like, a perfect mix between, like, young talent and then, obviously, the vets. So I think what's good and, like, what's different between, like, this team and, like, the other teams that, like, LeBron's having in his past is, like, I think there's going to be nights where, like, Rondo, LeBron, Lance Stephenson, whoever else is kind of a vet, don't really have to play as much. And you can just kind of trust Kuzma, Ingram, Lonzo, you know what I mean, to, like, go out there and make plays. I think they actually have a lot of playmakers on their team. When in the past, it's been, like, LeBron, Kyrie, obviously, and then, like, shooters.
Yeah.
I think they have a lot more guys in the squad this year that can actually make plays.
I think they have a lot of upside with every one of their players. I think there's a lot more room for growth over a season than there was for LeBron on Cleveland or, you know, Miami.
Yeah. But we'll see. Obviously, time will tell. chemistry is such a big thing in the league. You even look back at like the Miami Heat days, like their first season. Obviously, they lost to Dallas or whatever. It takes time to get chemistry and stuff like that. It's super hard to just throw a squad together, even if they're super talented, and like compete for a championship. So
for sure.
I mean, obviously, one of my like best friends is like a NBA fantasy writer. And we were just texting this morning back and forth. Like, the NBA is crazy, bro. It's like Jimmy Butler's requesting a trade. Like, it's a 24/7 news cycle. Like, tomorrow something could happen and it could change everything. It's just wild.
What did you think about that, by the way? What did you think about that? Why is that? Why do you think Jimmy wants out?
I mean, just, I don't want to speculate a lot just for the nature of the business, but like,
I think that he didn't
necessarily get along with the Timberwolves core, and was everything I've read and seen, like Jimmy Butler's a super like hard nosed, busting his ass type guy, no BS, and I'm not sure that his personality like clicked with the other stars there. So,
I get you. Kind of going into back to LA and you know, the Lakers. What do you think about kind of LeBron saying Lonzo is the best point guard he's ever played with?
He said that. It was just a lie.
I'd have to agree.
I mean, like, he might, like,
I was shook. I didn't believe it.
He said Lonzo or Rondo?
I'm going to double check my facts real quick. Let's see. But he definitely said something.
I mean, either way, it's like Kyrie's better than both of them.
I agree.
I guess Rondo could probably be his second best point guard he's ever played with. I mean, obviously, Isaiah Thomas wasn't healthy last year. George Hill, Mario Chalmers. Like, I could see Rondo being like his second best point guard. I don't think Lonzo's his best because I think Rondo's better than Lonzo right
here
now.
He said he's probably the best point guard I've ever had as a teammate about Lonzo
Talking
Ball.
Talking about Lonzo Ball?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of wild.
That's what I think.
As a true point guard, like a guy who just looks to get other players better,
yeah,
I can see where he's coming from, but also in the same realm, like, Rondo is essentially a more polished version of what Lonzo is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
But, for sure. I mean, obviously, LeBron's trying to hype his teammates up. I was talking to a guy the other day who said that Rondo and LeBron came in and they were like, hey, we want every clip that every player on the team, like every shot attempt every player on the team took last year.
Huh.
And the coaches are like, what? And they were like, yeah, we need it like tomorrow. So they watched all 14 guys that are basically on the roster right now. Both those guys have watched every clip that they played last year.
That's crazy.
Because they wanted to know where their teammates were comfortable in like their tendencies.
That's crazy, bro.
And it's like, wow, bro, when you think about it. And like, I read a story where when LeBron met with like Magic for the Lakers, obviously, he was talking about the team and already like knew like everything that people did. It was like, hey, we can use this guy here, we can use this guy here, we can use this guy there. Like, it's just wild to think how smart these guys are, and it's not by accident. Like,
they've been so detail oriented on this whole thing, and that's what, you know, this team is so underrated. And even though they're like the blockbuster team, they're still underrated in my opinion. I think that they're going to be very, very good this year. They have a lot of young talent. They have key pieces, role players that I think can match up to Golden State. I think it'll be close. I think it'll be very close.
I think the problem is Golden State is just substantially better than everyone. It's like
they literally have Team USA as their five. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
I was at dinner the other night with Shaq and his old college coach and another guy, and we were talking about LeBron. It was like the classic debate between LeBron and Jordan. And someone brought up the rings, and I was like, the reality is LeBron has 3 rings. He probably has at least 5 if the Warriors aren't around. Like, the Warriors are essentially one of, if not the best team of all time. And it just so happened that that was in the same era as, like, LeBron. You know what I mean?
I would have to agree.
He could very easily have 5 rings right now, and then the GOAT discussion becomes a little bit harder.
Yeah.
It's already hard enough. So we'll see. This will be obviously the first time LeBron's ever been in the West.
MJ never played a Golden State Warriors team like this, so no, that's all I'm
Pistons
saying.
And stuff like that, but he was, like, the best team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting.
For sure. But anything else? Oh, mailbag. Let's see. We got some questions for you, I know for sure. All right. By the way, if you guys have any questions for the podcast ever, go ahead, check out my Instagram. I usually drop a post on my story for Instagram questions. You can go ahead and drop us any questions, basketball, business, anything. They're not there anymore. So I remember my boy Tristan TB. What's good, T? Shout out to you, bro. He asked, what is one thing that I can do to be a better point guard? He's a high school. He is a freshman this year, Blue Valley. He's trying to figure out what he can do better. I've worked with him a couple times. Really hard worker. Just kind of want your opinion on that.
So I think for any high school kid, the number one thing you can do is become, like, a really good shooter. So it's hard, like, and it's kind of a cop-out answer, but it's not. So, like, if you can shoot the basketball, like, you always have a spot on the squad. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then obviously, like, you need to be able to handle it and make passes and things like that. But yeah. I think as, like, time goes on, like, so many kids just want to practice, like, isolation moves and, like, stuff like that. And I don't think that many kids can just shoot the basketball. Like, if you can just shoot it at a really, really high level, like, it opens up so much more for your game that becomes so much easier.
Agreed.
The game's tough and you can't shoot the basketball. Like, you just have to be so much better at everything. It's like, you know, like, when, like, blind, like, if you're supposedly, like, if you're blind, like, all your other senses, like, are a ton better. So, like, if you're blind, you can supposedly hear a lot better and everything like that. It's kind of the same with, like, basketball. Like, if you can't shoot, everything else just has to be so much better.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like, especially for a guy, like, who's not, I think this, his name's Tristan, right?
Yeah.
So I think he's in my class. I sent him a
think he went to one of your classes. Yeah.
Yeah. A guy who's not, like, super gifted as far as, like, athleticism or size and stuff like that, like, you got to be able to control what you can control, so you got to be able to shoot the thing. And I was having a conversation with a high school kid the other day, and he asked me the same thing. He's like, what's my next step? And this kid was, like, a 6'1 freshman. He's pretty good. And I was like, 500 shots a day. He was like, 500? I was like, yep. Like, no excuses. You can find a way, like, you have a gun at your gym, a shooting gun, get in there, like, before school. I don't care when you do it. I don't need to know the logistics. I just know that you need to shoot about 2,000 shots a week, minimum. So my advice for every high school kid is 4 times a week, go in the morning and shoot 500 shots a day. You know what I mean? Like, it's pretty hard if you're shooting 500 shots a day to not be a above average shooter. And the advice I gave him was go Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Because Wednesday, take your day off in the middle of the week, go in Thursday, Friday morning. Here's what kids don't do. High school kids, like, you have to work out before school on Friday mornings. Because what do you do on Friday night, especially in the fall? You go to football games. You know what I mean? And so it's like, you got to, like, take that into, like, consideration with your schedule and be like, all right, this football game's not an excuse for me not to get my work in. I'm just going to do it super early in the morning. Then, you know, 3 o'clock rolls around, I can go kick it with my homies, go to a tailgate, dress up, and enjoy a game, and know that you already got your work in. So for him, as a point guard, I just think if he became a knockdown shooter, then everything else would kind of fall into place and become a lot easier for him.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree. I think that we're in a day and age where you have to be able to shoot the ball well. I think the sport evolves around the ability to shoot the ball. I think Curry has shown that. I think a lot of other players have shown that even more nowadays. Anyways, so sounds like you're in the car, man. Where are you headed to?
So headed to watch. So the Suns right now, it's like this is their last practice before training camp starts on Monday. So they're just like doing some shooting workouts and scrimmaging, playing some 5-on-5. So I'm just rolling up there to watch some 5-on-5.
How's Shaq doing, man? I haven't talked to him in a while.
He's good, bro. His shot's getting there. Everything, like, we've kind of worked on is kind of starting to, like, really manifest. And, like,
yeah,
it's good now because this is, like, the most, I'm trying to think of the word, like, the most comfortable I felt with the shot as far as, like, sometimes, like, when he's with me for, like, a week or two, like, we get it to the point where I'm, like, really happy with it. And I'm like, all right, it's where it needs to be. And then he goes, you know, to his team or whatever. And by no, it's no one's fault. It's just sometimes it's like, all right, make shots. But then, like, we've been working together for, like, 5 years now. So, like,
yeah,
he knows exactly when I say something what I'm looking for. And I know exactly what I'm looking for. And sometimes it turns into he just gets in the mode of just trying to make shots. And so then when we get back together, we have to, like, reteach and reiterate, like, certain things that we want within a shot. And sometimes that can take, you know, a couple days to really get back to
where you need to be.
Yeah, and it only took, like, 20 minutes. And so yesterday, last night, we did a shooting workout, and it was probably the best he's shot in a shooting workout maybe ever. We had, like, 15 in a row, 22 to 26, like, 28 to 34, which is good, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
His misses were good. And so he only had, like, one every 13 or 14 shots where, like, he did something that, but other than that, it's been good. And this is a product of him, honestly, like, really, really focusing on the little details that we talk about. And it just makes everything a lot easier. When you have players that, like, will work on the stuff you want them to work on when they're not with you, like, life becomes so much easier as a trainer.
Oh, for sure. I think that's a big, big deal nowadays is whether you're in the gym with a trainer or by yourself, you have to buy into whatever you want to accomplish. A lot of kids, I think, don't necessarily work hard enough or push themselves enough. I think a lot of that carries over to not being able to succeed at the level that you want to. So whether you're in the gym with a trainer or not, I think it's really important that you take advantage of every single second, get as much knowledge as you can, and in the times you're not in the gym with the trainer, work your ass off because you have all this knowledge and all these drills and all the stuff that he's given you to work on, he or she has given you to work on, and you're just letting it go by until you work out with them again. So, therefore, you're not really progressing at a rate that you could be.
I think the biggest problem is, like, they just, players nowadays, because of the training era, where it's, like, it's become a thing. Like, trainers are, like, basically celebrities. Like, it's kind of wild. Like, and Drew's kind of to see, especially this last, like, 18 months, like, he's I guess, celebrity. Like, people know who Drew Hanlon is.
Yeah, for sure.
And so,
they're getting shout-outs on TV and everything. And
all over the place. And it's, like, it's not a negative thing. It's a positive thing, especially for our industry and, like, what we're trying to do for a career. The problem is, like, not only does every kid think they need a trainer, which, again, is great for our career, but they think that they can only work out with the trainer. And so, if we're working out on Tuesday and Thursday, they're like, all right, well, I don't have a trainer, so I can't really, what am I supposed to do on Monday and Wednesday? It's like, dude, you did it on Tuesday and Thursday, if you don't know. Like, if you can't comprehend the workout and, like, remember what you did, especially after being with someone for a couple months, then you're wasting your time.
I agree.
It's the whole GPS analogy of, well, we're supposed to help you get to your destination, but we can't drive the car. And so, you know, that's one of my favorite analogies. Like, we're basically the GPS in the sense of, when you first don't know where you're going, you always type it in the GPS. You know what I mean? Like, when I first got here to Phoenix and I would drive back and forth to the gym, I would have to type it in every single time how to get there. Now I've gone there 7 times. I don't have to type it in the GPS anymore.
Yeah, for sure.
So if you only rely on the GPS, what if your phone breaks down? Well, then you don't know where to go. The same thing with the trainer. It's like, if you only rely on your trainer, then that essentially you're saying to yourself, well, if I don't have someone in the gym with me, I'm not going to get a purposeful workout in, which is just unrealistic. No high school kid is going to have a trainer with him 250 days out of the year, and they shouldn't. So if you're lucky enough to have a trainer with you 40 times a year, like, that's so much time with a guy that you should be able to pick and choose different things that you guys have done and then go to the gym and actually get in purposeful work instead of just messing around, throwing up shots, half-assing drills, just to say that you were in the gym. You know what I mean?
Yep.
They separate it. If kids can figure that out, especially at a young age, they'll be amazed at how much they can separate themselves from the competition.
I think kids need to take that same mentality of grasping every piece of knowledge that they can in basketball camps. You know, you have to take advantage of every little thing you learn and actually put it into action, not just let it blow through your mind. And instead of going and jacking up shots.
No, I think, you know, quantity is important. Obviously, if you're shooting 4 shots a day, even if they're 4 perfect shots, like, you're probably not moving the needle very much. But it's like, I would venture to say, I earlier said, you know, shoot 500 shots a day just because it was an easy number to, like, that's what I did. But you're almost, like, it's like 500 shitty shots isn't better than 200 makes that are, like, perfect. Like, you're way better off shooting, like, a smaller amount of shots with high intensity, game speed, game form, game reps, than just going to the gym and chucking up shots to say you chucked up shots. But, you know, we can say it till we're blue in the face. Other people have said it. There's going to be a 2 or 3% of people that listen to this or even hear stuff, they're actually going to do it. And, like, weird how those 2 or 3% actually end up going on to, like, achieve what they want to achieve, like, with their career.
Yeah. For sure.
I heard a stat the other day, bro, that was, like, it was, like, what percentage of high school kids shoot 500 shots a day, and it was like 2%, right? They did a study, and then it was like, what percentage of high school kids go on to play college basketball? And it was like the same percentage. Now, obviously, you're gonna, like, it's not always gonna be the same, like, there's definitely some overlap with, like, whatever, but, like, I'm willing to bet that that's, for the most part, within a few percentage points, probably true.
I think it's most likely pretty spot on, I'm assuming.
Too many kids from the time they're a freshman in high school shoot 500 shots a day who aren't going to get their college paid for in some realm from basketball.
You might
not go Division One. Well, if you're getting your college paid for regardless, like, you won.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
For sure. For sure. You're not having to deal with that and stuff. You know, that's, kids may not think about that. High school kids may not think about that, but when you get to the point where you're in college and you're seeing the numbers rack up, I'm telling you, getting your college paid for, whether you're playing a sport or not, is a big deal. I'll tell you that.
So good, bro. It's a win.
It's huge. It's huge, for sure. Man, you one last little thing. We got a lot of guys committing right now from Kansas City. A lot of guys you've worked with, a lot of guys I've worked with. You know, just want to shout those guys out. You guys put in the work. You know, Christian, LaMel, I'll be with him tonight. LaMel is going to Omaha. You know, I would KJ Robinson.
I was pumped with the mail committee, but both those guys are good.
I know.
Christian, for sure. Christian Braun, so like, I remember 2 years ago, Coach Fritz at Northwest told me, he's like, hey, this is like the best player I've had since Clayton Custer. He has a chance to be a pro. And I was like, really? He was like, trust me. And he's right, man. He can hoop. He can hoop.
I've seen that man get buckets off of the same like five moves.
So we have good talent in Kansas City high school wise.
Kansas City's getting there, man.
We don't get all the pub because it's like we don't have guys that are like in California, like the top guys in California are like the top guy. You know what I mean? They're like,
yeah, for sure,
one and done type cats. Here it's like, you know, LaMel going to Omaha, Nebraska, like, some people are like, man, that's not that big a deal. Like, LaMel can hoop. It's just that we don't...
LaMel's a bucket. We just don't have the publicity and all that stuff. Yeah.
Publicity, or he's not, like, 6'5". You know what I mean? Like...
Yeah.
There's a lot of, like, different variables with it, but, like... I don't know, man. I like... I think Kansas City basketball is underrated as a whole.
For sure. Yep, so just a quick shout out to those guys, man, putting in a lot of work. And I think they're finally seeing it pay off. Well, I think that's pretty much it, man. Go ahead and tell the people where to follow you at.
You can follow me on IG at I am Luke Cooper. I think my Twitter is like Luke Cooper HD, which stands for Hoop Dreams, the basketball company I had before I went with Pure Sweat. And then I guess the easiest way to contact me is just DM. So, like, if anyone has any questions on, like, anything like that, just DM me on Instagram, and we should be Gucci from there.
Slide in the DMs, man. All right, bro. I appreciate you.
All right, homie. Hit me up later.
Sounds good, bro. Take it easy, man. All right, well, that's it for today, guys. Thank you for listening in. Hope you guys got something out of this. If you haven't already, go ahead and follow us on Instagram at Hustle Hoops Pod. There's many more people we're going to be having on the podcast here soon. Should have something up next week. Take it easy, guys.